With the opening of the side of Christ, the gate of paradise is opened, and with the pouring out of his blood, guilt is washed away, satisfaction is made to God, infirmity is removed, punishment is expiated, and the exiles are called back to the kingdom. Hence, the thief received the immediate response, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." 11. Never before was this spoken to anyone, not to Adam, not to Abraham, not to David, but this day, that is, as soon as the gate is opened. The thief, having asked for pardon, received it having a confidence in the entering into the holies by the blood of Christ. 12. Christ, exemplar of virtues. From all this then is seen the effect of the passion of Christ as a remedy for sin, but no less does it profit us as an example. Saint Augustine says that the passion of Christ can bring about a complete reformation of our lives. Whoever wishes to live perfectly need do nothing other than despise what Christ despised on the cross, and desire what Christ desired. There is no virtue that did not have its example on the cross. So if you seek an example of charity, then, greater love than his no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 13. And this Christ did upon the cross. If, therefore, he gave his life for us, we ought to endure any and all evils for him. Which shall I render to the Lord for all the things that he hath rendered to me? 14. If you seek an example of patience, you will find it in its highest degree upon the cross. Great patience is exemplified in two ways: either when one suffers intensely in all patience, or when one suffers that which he could avoid, if he so wished. Christ suffered greatly upon the cross. So all ye that pass by the way, attend, and see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrow. 15. And with all patience, because, when he suffered, he threatened not. 16. And again, he shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb before his shearer, and shall not open his mouth. 17. He could have avoided this suffering, but he did not think, "Hast thou, that I cannot ask my Father, and he will give me presently more than 12 legions of angels." 18. The patience of Christ upon the cross, therefore, was of the highest degree. Let us run by patience to the fight proposed to us, looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who, having joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. 19. If you seek an example of humility, look upon him who was crucified. Although he was God, he chose to be judged by Pontius Pilate and to be put to death. Thy cause has been judged as that of the wicked. 20. Truly, that of the wicked, because let us condemn him to a most shameful death. 21. The Lord chose to die for his servant. The life of the angels suffered death for man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. 22. If you seek an example of obedience, imitate him who was obedient to the Father unto death. For by the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also by the obedience of one, many shall be made just. 23. If you seek an example of contempt for earthly things, imitate him who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Rulers, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom. But on the cross he was stripped naked, ridiculed, spat upon, bruised, crowned with thorns, given to drink of vinegar and gall, and finally put to death. How falsely, therefore, is one attached to riches and raiment, for they parted my garments amongst them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. 24. How falsely to honors, since I was covered with lashes and insults. How falsely to positions of power, because, taking a crown of thorns, they placed it upon my brow. How falsely to delicacies of the table, for, in my thirst they gave me to drink of vinegar. Thus, Saint Augustine, in commenting on these words, who, having joy set before him, endured the cross despising the shame, 25, says the man Christ despised all earthly things, in order to teach us to despise them. The 5th article, he descended into hell. The death of Christ was the separation of his soul from his body as it is with other men. But the divinity was so indissolubly conjoined to the man Christ that, although his soul and body were disunited, his divinity was always most perfectly united to both the soul and body. This we have seen above. Therefore in the sepulchre his body was together with the Son of God, who together with his soul descended into hell. 1. Reasons for Christ's descent. There are four reasons why Christ together with his soul descended into hell. First, he wished to take upon himself the entire punishment for our sin, and thus atone for its entire guilt. The punishment for the sin of man was not alone death of the body, but there was also a punishment of the soul, since the soul had its share in sin, and it was punished by being deprived of the beatific vision, and as yet no atonement had been offered whereby this punishment would be taken away. Therefore, before the coming of Christ all men, even the holy fathers after their death, descended into hell. Accordingly, in order to take upon himself most perfectly the punishment due to sinners, Christ not only suffered death, but also his soul descended into hell too. He, However, this ended for a different cause than did the fathers, for they did so out of necessity, and were of necessity taken there and detained. But Christ descended there of his own power and free will. I'm counted among them that go down to the pit and become as a man without help, free among the dead. 3. The others were there as captives, but Christ was freely there. The second reason is, that he might perfectly deliver all his friends. Christ had his friends both in the world and in hell. The former were his friends, in that they possessed charity, and the latter were they who departed this life with charity and faith in the future Redeemer, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and other just and good men. Therefore, since Christ had dwelt among his friends in this world, and had delivered them by his death, so he wished to visit his friends who were detained in hell, and deliver them also. I will penetrate to all the lower parts of the earth, and will behold all that hope in the Lord. 4. The third reason is, that he would completely triumph over the devil. Now, a person is perfectly vanquished when he is not only overcome in conflict, but also when the assault is carried into his very home, and the seat of his kingdom is taken away from him. Thus Christ triumphed over the devil. 5. And on the cross he completely vanquished him. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, that is, the devil, be cast out. 6. To make this triumph complete, Christ wished to deprive the devil of the seat of his kingdom, and to imprison him in his own house, which is hell. Christ, therefore, descended there, and despoiled the devil of everything and bound him, taking away his prey. 7. And despoiling the principalities and powers, he hath exposed them confidently in open show, triumphing over them in himself. 8. Likewise, Christ, who had received the power and possession of heaven and earth, desired too the possession of hell, as says the apostle, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. 9. In my name they shall cast out devils. 10. The fourth and final reason is, that Christ might free the just who were in hell or limbo. For as Christ wished to suffer death, to deliver the living from death, so also he would descend into hell to deliver those who were there. Thou also by the blood of thy testament, hast sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. 11. And again, O death, I will be thy death. No hell, I will be thy bite. 12. Although Christ wholly overcame death, yet not so completely did he destroy hell, but, as it were, he bit it. He did not free all from hell, but those only who were without mortal sin. He likewise liberated those without original sin, from which they, as individuals, were freed by circumcision, or before the institution of circumcision, they who had been saved through their parents' faith, which refers to those who died before having the use of reason, or by the sacrifices, and by their faith in the future coming of Christ, which refers to adults. 13. The reason they were there in hell, that is limbo, is an original sin which they had contracted from Adam, and from which as members of the human race they could not be delivered except by Christ. Therefore, Christ left there those who had descended there with mortal sin, and the non-circumcised children. Thus, it is seen, that Christ descended into hell, and for what reasons? Now we may gather 4 considerations from this for our own instruction. WHATWEMAYLEARNFROMTHIS 1. A firm hope in God. No matter how much one is afflicted, one ought always hope in the assistance of God, and have trust in Him. There is nothing so serious as to be in hell. If, therefore, Christ delivered those who were in hell, what great confidence ought every friend of God have, that he will be delivered from all his troubles? She, that is, wisdom, forsook not the just when he was sold, but delivered him from sinners. She went down with him into the pit, and in bonds she left him not. 14. God helps in a special manner those who serve him, and hence the servant of God should feel secure in him. He that feareth the Lord shall tremble at nothing, and shall not be afraid, for he is his hope. 15. We ought to conceive a fear of God, and avoid all presumption. We have already seen that Christ suffered for sinners, and descended into hell for them. However, he did not deliver all sinners, but only those who were free from mortal sin. He left in those who departed this life in mortal sin. Hence, anyone who descends into hell in mortal sin has no hope of deliverance, and he will remain in hell as long as the holy fathers remain in paradise, that is, for all eternity, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the just, into life everlasting. 16. 3. We ought to arouse in ourselves a mental anxiety. Since Christ descended into hell for our salvation, we ought in all care go down there in spirit by considering, for instance, its punishments, as did that holy man, Ezechias. I said, in the midst of my days I shall go to the gates of hell. 17. Indeed, he who during this life frequently descends into hell by thinking of it, will not easily fall into hell at death, for such meditation keeps one from sin, and draws one out of it. We see how men of this world guard themselves against wrongdoing, because of the temporal punishment, But with how much more care ought they avoid the punishment of hell, which far exceeds all else in its duration, its severity, and its varied nature. In all thy works remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. 18. 4. There comes to us in this an example of love. Christ descended into hell, in order to deliver his own, and so we should go down there to rescue our own. They cannot help themselves. Therefore, let us deliver those who are in purgatory. He would be very hard-hearted who does not come to the aid of a relative who is detained in an earthly prison, but much more cruel is he who will not assist a friend who is in purgatory, for there is no comparison between the pains of this world, and of that. Have pity on me, have pity on me, at least you my friends, because the hand of the Lord hath touched me. 19. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. 20. We may assist these souls in three ways, as Saint Augustine tells us, namely through masses, prayers, and almsgiving. Saint Gregory adds a fourth, that is, fasting. All this is not so amazing, for even in this world a friend can pay a debt for his friend, but this applies only to those who are in purgatory. The 5th article continued. The third day he arose again from the dead. We must necessarily note two things: the glory of God and the punishment of hell. For being attracted by his glory, and made fearful by punishments, we take warning and withdraw ourselves from sin. But for us to appreciate these facts is very difficult. Thus, it is said of God's glory, "But the things that are in heaven, who shall search out?" 1. For those who are worldly minded this is indeed difficult, because, "He that is of the earth he is, and of the earth he speaketh too," but it is easier for the spiritually minded, because, "He that cometh from above is above all," as is said in the same place. Accordingly, God descended from heaven, and became incarnate to teach us heavenly things. Once it was difficult to know about the punishments of hell. No man hath been known to have returned from hell. 3. As it is said in the person of the wicked. But this cannot be said now, for just as Christ descended from heaven to teach us heavenly things, so also he came back from the region of hell to teach us about it. It is, therefore, necessary that we believe, not only that Christ was made man, and died, but also that he arose again from the dead. Therefore, it is said in the Creed, "The third day he arose again from the dead." We find that many arose from the dead, such as Lazarus, 4. The son of the widow, 5, and the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, 6, but the resurrection of Christ differed from the resurrection of these, and of all others, in 4 points. Special character of Christ's resurrection. 1. Christ's resurrection differed from that of all others in its cause. Those others who arose did so, not of their own power, but either by the power of Christ, or through the prayers of some saint. Christ, on the contrary, arose by his own power, because he was not only man but also God, and the divinity of the Word was at no time separated either from his soul, or from his body. Therefore, his body could, whenever he desired, take again the soul, and his soul the body. "I lay down my life, that I may take it again, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." 7. Christ truly died, but not because of weakness or of necessity, but rather of his own will entirely, and by his own power. This is seen in that moment, when he yielded up the ghost he cried out with a loud voice, 8, which could not be true of others at the moment of dying, because they die out of weakness. For this the centurion said, "Indeed, this was the Son of God." 9, by that same power whereby he gave up his soul, he received it again, and hence the Creed says, "He arose again, because he was not raised up, as if by anyone else." "I have slept, and have taken my rest, and I have risen up." 10. Nor can this be contrary to these words, "This is Jesus hath God raised again." 11. Because both the Father and the Son raised him up, since one and the same power is of the Father and the Son. Christ's resurrection was different as regards the life to which he arose. Christ arose again to a glorious and incorruptible life. Christ has risen from the dead by the glory of the Father. 12. The others, however, were raised to that life which they had before, as seen of Lazarus and the others. 3. Christ's resurrection was different also in effect and efficacy. In virtue of the resurrection of Christ all shall rise again, and many bodies of the saints that had slept arose. 13. The apostle declares that Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. 14. But also note that Christ by his passion arrived at glory. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and so to enter into his glory? 15. And this is to teach us how we also may arrive at glory through many tribulations. We must enter into the kingdom of God. 16. 4. Christ's resurrection was different in point of time. Christ arose on the third day, but the resurrection of the others is put off until the end of the world. The reason for this is, that the resurrection and death and nativity of Christ were, for our salvation, 17, and thus he wished to rise again at a time when it would be of profit to us. Now, if he had risen immediately, it would not have been believed that he died, and similarly, if he had put it off until much later, the disciples would not have remained in their belief, and there would have been no benefit from his passion. He arose again, therefore, on the third day, so that it would be believed that he died, and his disciples would not lose faith in him. 18. WHATWEMAYLEARNFROMTHE resurrection. From all this, we can take four things for our instruction. Firstly, let us endeavor to arise spiritually from the death of the soul which we incur by our sins, to that life of justice which is, had through penance rise, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall enlighten thee. 19. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. 20. Secondly, let us not delay to rise until our death, but do it at once, since Christ arose on the third day. Delay not to be converted to the Lord, and defer it not from day to day. 21, you will not be able to consider what pertains to salvation when weighed down by illness, and, moreover, by persevering in sin, you will lose part of all the good which is done in the church, and you will incur many evils. Indeed, the longer you possess the devil, the harder it is to put him away, as Saint Bede tells us. Thirdly, let us rise up again to an incorruptible life, in that we may not die again, but resolve to sin no more, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, death now no more. Death shall no more have dominion over him. So do you also reckon, that ye are dead to sin, but alive unto God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither yield your members as instruments of iniquity unto sin, but present yourselves to God, as those that are alive from the dead. 22. Fourthly, let us rise again to a new and glorious life, by avoiding all that which formerly were the occasions and the causes of our death and sin. As Christ has risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. 23. This new life is the life of justice which renews the soul, and leads it to the life of glory. The 6th article. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Besides the resurrection of Christ, we must also believe in his ascension, for he ascended into heaven on the 40th day. Hence, the Creed says he ascended into heaven. Concerning this we ought to observe three things, namely that it was sublime, reasonable, and beneficial. The sublimity of the ascension. It was certainly sublime that Christ ascended into heaven. This is expounded in three ways. Firstly, he ascended above the physical heaven. He ascended above all the heavens. 1. Secondly, he ascended above all the spiritual heavens, that is, spiritual natures, raising Jesus up from the dead, and setting him on his right hand in the heavenly places, above all principality and power and virtue and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath subjected all things under his feet too. Thirdly, he ascended up to the very throne of the Father. Lo, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came even to the Ancient of Days. 3. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. 4. Now, it is not to be taken in the literal sense, but figuratively, that Christ is at the right hand of God. Inasmuch as Christ is God, he is said to sit at the right hand of the Father, that is, in equality with the Father, and as Christ is man, he sits at the right hand of the Father, that is, in a more preferable place. 5. The devil once feigned to do this: I will ascend above the height of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. 6. But Christ alone succeeded in this, and so it is said he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. 7. The reasonableness of the ascension. The ascension of Christ into heaven is in accord with reason. 1. Because heaven was due to Christ by his very nature, it is natural for one to return to that place from whence he takes his origin. The beginning of Christ is from God, who is above all things. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father. 9. No man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. 9. The just ascend into heaven, but not in the manner that Christ ascended, that is, by his own power, for they are taken up by Christ. 10. Drami, we will run after the 11, or, indeed, we can say that no man, but Christ has ascended into heaven, because the just do not ascend, except in so far as they are the members of Christ who is the head of the church. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. 12. Heaven is due to Christ, because of his victory, for he was sent into the world to combat the devil, and he did overcome him. Therefore, Christ deserved to be exalted above all things. I also have overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. 13. 3. The ascension is reasonable, because of the humility of Christ. There never was humility so great as that of Christ, who, although he was God, yet wished to become man, and although he was the Lord, yet wished to take the form of a servant, and, as Saint Paul says, he was made obedient unto death, 14, and descended even into hell. For this he deserved to be exalted even to heaven, and to the throne of God, for humility leads to exaltation. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, 15, he that descended, is the same also that ascended above all the heavens, 16. The benefits of the ascension. The ascension of Christ was very beneficial for us. This is seen three ways. Firstly, as our leader, because he ascended, in order to lead us, for we had lost the way, but he has shown unto us. For he shall go up that shall open the way before them, 17, and thus we may be made certain of possessing the heavenly kingdom. I go to prepare a place for you, 18, secondly, that he might draw our hearts to himself, for where thy treasure is, there is thy heart, so 19, thirdly, to let us withdraw from worldly things. Therefore, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth, 20. The 7th article, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. It is of the office of the King and Lord to pronounce judgment. The King that sitteth on the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his look. 1. Since Christ, therefore, ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God as Lord of all, it is clear that it is the office of judge. For this reason we say in the rule of Catholic faith that he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Indeed the angels have said that this is Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall also come as you have seen him going into heaven too. We shall consider three facts about the judgment. 1. The form of the judgment. The fear of the judgment. 3. Our preparation for the judgment. The judgment. Now, concerning the form of the judgment, there is a threefold question. Who is the judge? Who are to be judged? And upon what will they be judged? Christ is the judge. It is he who is appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. 3. We may here interpret the dead to mean sinners, and the living to mean the just, or the living to refer to those who at that time were living, and the dead to mean those who had died. Christ of a certain is judge, not only in that he is God, but also in that he is man. The first reason for this is, because it is necessary that they who are to be judged may see the judge. But the Godhead is so wholly delightful that no one could behold it without great enjoyment, and hence the damned are not permitted to see the judge, nor in consequence to enjoy anything. Christ, therefore, of necessity will appear in the form of man, so that he may be seen by all, and he hath given him power to do judgment, because he is the Son of Man. 4. Again, Christ deserved this office as man, for as man he was unjustly judged, and therefore God constitutes him judge of the entire world, because hath been judged as that of the wicked. Cause and judgment thou shalt recover. 5. And, lastly, if God alone should judge men, they, being terrified, would despair. But this despair disappears from men if they are to be judged by a man, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. 6. Whoare judged. All are to be judged, those who are, who were, and who will be. We must all be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the proper things of the body, according as he hath done, whether it be good or evil. 7. There are, says Saint Gregory, four different classes of people to be judged. The chief difference is between the good and the wicked. Of the wicked, some will be condemned but not judged. They are the infidels, whose works are not to be discussed, because, as Saint John says, he that doth not believe is already judged. 8. The others will be both condemned and judged. They are those possessing the faith who departed this life in mortal sin, for the wages of sin is death. 9. They shall not be excluded from the judgment because of the faith which they possessed. Of the good also, some will be saved, and shall not be judged. They are the poor in spirit, for God's sake, who rather shall judge others. Amen. I say to you that you, who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the seat of his majesty, you also shall sit on 12 seats judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 10. Now, this is not to be understood only of the disciples, but of all those who are poor in spirit, for otherwise Paul, who labored more than others, would not be among this number. These words, therefore, must refer also to all the followers of the apostles, and to all apostolic men. Know you not, that we shall judge angels? 11. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and dispenses. 12. Others shall both be saved and judged, that is, they who die in a state of righteousness. For although they departed this life in justice, nevertheless they fell somewhat amiss in the business of temporal matters, and hence shall be judged but saved. The judgment will be upon all their deeds, good and bad. Walk in the ways of thy heart, and do know that for all these God will bring thee into judgment. 13. And all things that are done, God will bring into judgment for every error, whether it be good or evil. 14. Even idle words shall be judged, but I say to you, that every idle word Hapman shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment. 15. And thoughts also for inquisition shall be made into the thought of the ungodly. 16. Thus, the form of the judgment is clear. THEFAROFTHE judgment. The judgment ought indeed to be feared, because of the wisdom of the judge. God knows all things, our thoughts, words, and deeds, and all things are naked and open to his eyes. 17. All the ways of men are open to his eyes. 18. He knows our words. The ear of jealousy heareth all things. 19. Also our thoughts. The heart is perverse above all things and unsearchable. Who can know it? I'm the Lord, who search the heart, and prove the reins, who give to every one according to his way, and according to the fruit of his devices. 20. There will be infallible witnesses, men's own consciences, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness to them, and their thoughts between themselves accusing, or also defending one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. 21. B. Because of the power of the judge, who is almighty in himself, behold, the Lord God will come with strength. 22. And also almighty in others, the whole world shall fight with him against the unwise. 23. Hence, Job says, whereas there is no man that can deliver out of thy hand. 24. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I descend into hell, thou art present, says the psalmist. 25. See, because of the inflexible justice of the judge, the present is the time for mercy, but the future is the time solely for justice, and so the present is our time, but the future is God's time, when I shall take a time, I shall judge. Justice is 26. The jealousy and rage of the husband will not spare in the day of revenge, nor will he yield to any man's prayers, nor will he accept for satisfaction ever so many gifts. 27. D. Because of the anger of the judge, he shall appear in different ways to the just and to the wicked. To the just, he will be pleasant and gracious, they'll behold the King of Beauty. 28. To the wicked he will be angry and pitiless, so that they may say to the mountains, fall upon us, and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. 29. But this anger of God does not bespeak in him any perturbation of soul, but rather the effect of his anger, which is the eternal punishment inflicted upon sinners. O.U.R. Preparation FORTHE judgment. Now, against this fear of the judgment we ought to have four remedies. The first is, good works wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. 30. The second is, confession and repentance for sins committed, and this ought to include sorrow in thinking of him, feeling of shame in confessing them, and all severity in making satisfaction for them, and these will take away the eternal punishment. The third is, giving of alms, which makes all things clean. Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. 31. The fourth is charity, namely the love of God and our neighbor. 4. Charity covereth the multitude of sins. 32. The 8th article, I believe in the Holy Ghost. As we have said, the Word of God is the Son of God, just as in a way the Word of man is the concept of his intellect. 1. But sometimes man has a word which is dead. This is when, for instance, he conceives what he ought to do, but he has not the will to do it, or when one believes, but does not practice, then his faith is said to be dead, as Saint James points out. 2. The Word of God, however, is alive, for the Word of God is living. 3. It is necessary, therefore, that in God there be will and love. Thus, Saint Augustine says, the Word of God which we plan to speak is knowledge with love. 4. Now, as the Word of God is the Son of God, God's love is the Holy Ghost. Hence, it is that one possesses the Holy Ghost when he loves God. The charity of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. 5. Teaching OFTHE Nicene Creed. There are some who held false opinions concerning the Holy Ghost. They said, for instance, that he was only the servant and minister of God. Hence, to remove these errors, the Holy Fathers added 5 phrases concerning the Holy Ghost. 6. The Holy Ghost, the Lord. The first is, that although there are other spirits, such as the angels, who are ministers of God, are they not all ministering spirits? 7. Nevertheless, the Holy Ghost is the Lord. God is a spirit. 8. And now the Lord is a spirit. 9. And also, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 10. The reason is, that he makes us love God and cease to love the world. Thus, the Creed says, in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, and life-giver. The second phrase is there, because the soul's life is to be united to God, inasmuch as God is the life of the soul, and as truly as the soul is the life of the body. 11. Now, the Holy Ghost unites the soul to God through love, because he is the love of God, and therefore he gives life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. 12. Therefore, it is said, and life-giver, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The third is, that the Holy Ghost is one in substance with the Father and the Son, because as the Son is the Word of the Father, so the Holy Spirit is the love both of the Father and the Son, and, therefore, He proceeds from them both. Moreover, just as the Word of God is of the same substance as the Father, so also is love Holy Ghost, of the same substance as the Father and the Son.